What I was thinking about this morning is how each one of you in this place wanted to be with Jesus this morning. You want to be in His house. And I believe that every one of you has opened your heart to receive Him in. And I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus, for surrounding me with people that want you to have room inside of them, that they would make room for you, that they would honor you. And I'm asking your blessings on each one here. I'm asking you to let them know how you receive their honor and their praise, and that you want to fill them with your presence and live in them. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. You are so cool. There's nobody like you. Amen. Lord, this morning, when we go to speak, Lord, I just ask that you would have your way here. I ask, Lord, that you would be seen. Jesus, that we would commemorate in such a way that it would be unforgettable inside of us, that it wouldn't just be another thought, another time, but it would be a time that we would reflect and realize what happened by you coming to this earth and what you made possible. And Lord, that our lives would be forever changed and you would be forever glorified in and through our lives and our choices. We just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you'd open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 18. I don't know if you've ever looked at the Christmas story. I'm going to read from three different passages. Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, and Luke chapter 2. But we're going to do it a little different. Matthew 1, Luke 2, and then Matthew 2. Okay? So I'm trying to do it more in chronological order of how it happened. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or this is the way it happened. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together. You see, they didn't sleep together before they got married. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. God put his living seed inside of her while she was engaged to Joseph. These were both two people that loved God. They were not special people. They were people just like you and me. But they loved God, honored God, made God their choice. They were engaged. While they were engaged, she was pregnant. She was found to be pregnant. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just or a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example. In those days, you see, if the same rules applied today that applied back then, half of the young population in America, at least, would already be stoned to death. Because that back then, if a girl was found pregnant before she was married, they took her out and they stoned her. That doesn't mean they got her high. That means they killed her. Okay? Do you understand? All right. So Joseph, being a righteous man, he didn't want to make her, he didn't want to bring this out publicly. So he was minded to put her away privately. He wanted to keep this on the hush. But while he thought on these things, because he was trying to figure it out, what happened? Because in the natural, that meant she had to sleep with somebody. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet in the Old Testament, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. So here's Mary, she's pregnant. He has a word from God saying, this pregnancy is of me. While she's pregnant, it came to pass in Luke chapter 2 verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, or from the leader of that land, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all people went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. She was ready to be delivered. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Everybody had to go back to their town of origin, where they're from, to be taxed. They go back there. So many people were traveling. All the hotels basically were filled. There was no place for him to stay. He's like, my wife's about to have a baby. And the guy said, well, I've got a stall over here, and where the animals are, it's the best I could do. I don't have any other place. And Jesus, God in the flesh, was born humbly in a manger, in a stall. And in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, he's born. Meanwhile, out here in the country, there's some shepherds keeping watch of their sheep. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. All of a sudden, an angel appeared unto them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Okay? So the angel's there. The glory of God shines. And it says that the angels were sore afraid. They probably fell to the ground. They were scared. And the angel said unto the shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. See, Jesus is for everybody. There's not anybody that he rejects. People have to reject him. He doesn't reject anybody. He comes to everybody. As a matter of fact, he knocks on every single heart looking for if you have room for him. And the angel said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David, unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. It says, this is how you're going to know it. Now these guys are out in the field. They don't know about this little baby being born in a stall over here. They said, this is going to be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. All of a sudden, it was like the veil was pulled back and the sky was filled with angels and the glory of God was there. And they began to praise God and sing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and God's goodwill toward men. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out. God gave you His best. He gave you His Son. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, now here's these shepherds, they're in the field, they're probably all prostrate, laying on the ground. The glory of God is there. There's one angel declaring a message, because that's what the word angel means, is a messenger of God. And then a whole host or a whole crowd of angels, probably filling the sky, appeared. And they're all praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them back into heaven, the shepherds, when they were able to move, said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The angels had just said, this is the sign. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And they said, let's go see this. Verse 16, and they came with haste. That means they hurried up. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went everywhere telling them, you know what? We knew this was going to happen before we saw it. We were out in the field. We were tending our sheep. All of a sudden, this heavenly messenger showed up. The glory of God was all over the place. We couldn't even stand for the glory. We fell on our faces and they told us, you're going to go find a baby in a manger, in a stall, with animals, and this is God in the flesh. This is Christ the Lord. This is the Messiah we've been waiting on for the whole Old Testament, being prophesied that He's coming. He is now here. They went everywhere. I remember when I met Jesus, July 1st, 1976. The very next day, I went door to door. I couldn't wait. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Recently, a young girl met Jesus here. We just baptized her a couple of weeks ago. And she told my wife, she said, I just want to go and tell everybody. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. She said, I want to go door to door and tell everybody. Well, that's what's happened to me. That's what's happened to a number of people I've met that met Jesus. What I'm going to ask you is, have you met Jesus? Does Jesus live inside of you? Has there ever been a time where you wanted to go and tell everybody, Jesus is real? Up until now, I heard about Him. I knew about Him. But today, I met Him. Has there been a time where you met Him? Has there been a time where you wanted to tell everybody about Him? You see, for me, I've never gotten over it. Of course, it's only been 36 years. Maybe I'll get over it, Wayne. I don't think so. But maybe I'll get over it. But for some reason, I can't quit telling everybody about Jesus. I just want to tell everybody. He's like the best person I've ever met. I can't quit talking about Him. If you hang around me, that's what we're going to talk about, is Jesus. Because I'll be quiet, you're talking about everything else, but when it's my turn, we're going to talk about Jesus, okay? And that's what happened with these shepherds. They went everywhere talking and telling about what God had told them, what God had showed them. In verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, here's a woman who did not get pregnant like any other woman. She got pregnant by God just putting His seed inside of her miraculously. And she knew she had not slept with anybody. She knew that. But She became pregnant. She birthed a child. And then all these things that were told her by God and told her husband by God began to happen, and told other people by God began to happen in her life. And she just kept thinking, wow, this is God. Wow, look at how He's confirming. And that's how God does. When you know something is true, it's going to bear witness inside of you, and God's going to keep confirming it to you by other witnesses, right? Amen? All right, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They returned. That means they were out of the house, okay? And now as they came back, they still couldn't quit talking about it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 2. So here we've got Jesus before He's born, and Mary and his father Joseph, and I'm going to call him his stepfather. I call him a second father because God is his father. Okay? And then Jesus is born. God comes to the earth as a man. Have you ever wondered why did He do that? Have you ever wondered why did God come here in the form of a man? Did you ever wonder? Did you? So why don't we just take a second? You tell me. Why did God come in the form of a man? Why? Why did God come and be born on this earth? Why? That's exactly right, Steve. Why did He come? Don't say anymore, Steve. You already said something. Don't say anymore. Larry, you can't talk. Wayne, you can't talk. Okay? I'm going to get some that don't normally talk. Go ahead. So we could relate to Him better. He went through what we've gone through. Yeah, exactly. There's a verse that says that. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Everything we've gone through, or will go through, Jesus had to go through in the flesh. He did that for us. Why did God come in the flesh? Why was He born? Uh-oh. Got another one's going to know the answer. Here we go. Because He had to have blood. Okay? Why did He have to have blood? So He, see, you got right to where I was wanting to go, okay? He came, yes, He came so that we could relate to Him. And I've thought of that many, many times, of being able to relate to God, and God being able to relate to me and understand and know what I'm going through, and not thinking, you don't understand, you're God. You know, you didn't have to go through this, but He did. He did that for us. But He created Himself a body to be born in, so that He could become our substitute and get what we deserve so we wouldn't get what we deserve. Do you know what you deserve? Do you know what you deserve? You see, I'm sorry, I know you're an American and you think I got all these rights. Okay? Well, I deserve. Well, everybody owes me. I'm sorry. That didn't come out of the Bible. That didn't come from God. That didn't come from truth. That didn't come from righteousness. That is all self-centered thinking. That's all of the enemy. My rights. What we deserve. If somebody steals, what do they deserve? What do you think? Do they deserve to be punished, or we ought to wink and let them go? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Yes, what? Okay, so if somebody steals, what do they deserve? Do they deserve punishment or reward? Okay, what about if they lie? Uh-oh, we just condemned ourselves. Because every one of us has lied. That's right, uh-oh. That's right, that's why we needed Jesus. You got it. You see, Jesus knew what we deserved. The wages, the payment I don't know if you know this verse, but if you ever memorized one verse in the whole Bible, you ought to memorize Romans 6:23, the last verse of Romans chapter 6. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." The payment for sin is death. What we deserve, like what Lois was talking about, what we deserve for sinning is death. Do you understand that? But do you believe that? Because when you believe that, when you realize I am responsible for my sin, then that's when you can receive Jesus into your manger. That's when you can receive Jesus into your life. Because until then, you just know about Him. You might get warm, fuzzy feelings thinking about Him, singing songs, you know, looking at Christmas trees, looking at little kids with their twinkly eyes when they're opening their gifts and stuff like that. But in order to receive Jesus inside, I'm looking for somebody. There's somebody I'm looking for. I don't see that person in here right now. In order for you to receive Jesus inside, in order for you to know Him, you have to first realize what you deserve and admit it. And what's amazing is He created Himself a body so that, like what Lois said earlier, He could become us. He could become a person in the flesh. The only difference is He never sinned. So He didn't deserve to die. He never stole. He never lied. He didn't get proud. He didn't argue. He didn't backtalk. He doesn't sound like a normal human being. But he was just like us, except without sin. And the reason for that was because by Him not sinning, He's the only man born that couldn't die. Because sin is what kills us. Sin is what kills us. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. What we deserve for sinning is death. But the gift of God, what we don't deserve, the gift of God is eternal life. And the only way to get it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift, what we don't deserve, is Jesus Christ. What we don't deserve is eternal life. We don't deserve life with God. When you think of that word Emmanuel, if you didn't get any other word, any other thought today except this one word, Jesus is Emmanuel. And I love when Wayne was singing, because He was bringing forth that message over and over again. God with us. Have you ever experienced life where you're lonely? Have you ever experienced life where you're rejected? Have you ever experienced life where you've got pain and where you don't want to trust anybody? I can't trust men, they're all bad. Can't trust women, they're all bad. Can't trust anybody, they're all bad. Right? That's life without God. Life with God. You see, Jesus is about accepting us. Jesus is about being with us. Jesus wants to be with us. He says in Hebrews 13:5, He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We make choices to leave Him. He doesn't make choices to leave us. We make choices. I want you to notice something. Where are we? Is Matthew or are we in Luke? Matthew chapter 2, right? All right. Matthew chapter 2. I want you to notice. So here's Jesus He's conceived by, or Mary's conceives, is, Mary conceives, has Jesus, births Jesus, the angels here, now, they're at, shortly after that, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. China, India, from the east of Israel. They came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. These were men that studied the stars, and they knew by the stars that there was a great one coming. They didn't understand everything, but they knew that he was of God. And they went to find him, and they said, and they knew the scriptures. And they went to find him, and they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Because the scriptures and the stars line up, because all creation witnesses of God. Where is he? Because we've seen his star, and we are come to worship him. But when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Meaning, he's like, hey, I'm the king. I'm used to getting worshipped. What's going on here? I want everybody worshiping me. Who's this other king? So he was troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, in other words, he gathered the religious leaders together that were of him, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He said, you know the scripture. According to the scripture, where's Christ to be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for in the scriptures it's written, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Do you think he wanted to go and worship him? Not even hardly. When the wise men, they didn't call them wise men for nothing. When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, come to where Jesus was, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down, and they worshipped him. They didn't worship her, they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold represented kingship, because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense represented deity, because he is God in the flesh. And myrrh represented death, because it was a spice that bodies were prepared with when somebody died, because it was foretelling his death for us. And these wise men, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Jesus is born. Angels declare him. Shepherds declare him, going everywhere telling about him. Even wise men in other countries heard of him and came to worship him, and they offered him. They came a great length. It took a lot of time. Now, nowadays, we just send them an email. That's what we do, you know. But that's back then, they didn't have that. And I think Jesus is worth more than an email. I think he's worth our time and our energy. I want you to just see something if I can. Do you see these purple chairs over here? Do you know what color these chairs were before? Green. And they needed some help. So somebody coming here, because God is dear to them inside, and because they wanted to do something to honor God, they have been coming here every day or every couple days, and they've been taking and redoing these chairs in their time, their expense, because it's in their heart. Nobody asked them. They didn't ask for money. We told them, you know, we can buy the material, whatever. They said, no, we got it all covered. Covered. I didn't mean to make a pun of that. But, nope, we got it covered. And they have been working on doing that. And see, that is like what these wise men did. They weren't called wise guys like a lot of us, you know, little smart mouths. These were men that were exceeding wise. And these guys knew the scriptures, and they studied the stars and nature, and they saw how they came together and pointed to one coming. And they said, we want to go and we want to honor him. They took their time. They took their energy. They went a long distance. They had to go and ask for directions. They weren't like a typical male and just, you know, I'll be riding with guys sometimes and I go, where are we going? Well, I don't know, but we're sure getting there fast, going nowhere. You know, I said, why don't we stop and ask directions? Oh no, I'll find it here in a little bit. You know, I've been with guys and they drive for an hour and can't find it. I can't stand that. I just stop and I go and ask directions. That's what we should do. And that's what these wise men did, was they went and asked for directions. And they went and they found Jesus. And when they did, they offered him, out of their heart, their best. They offered him gifts that were worthy. Now, I want to share something with you, okay? I'm going to share two things. I wasn't even thinking about this, but I'm sharing this with you. Last week, Bernie Bush ministered to different people here, giving them gifts. We, Bernie Bush, gave to people here Christmas gifts to different ones as God had led us. This is what we call a Jesus Christmas gift. We've done this ever since our kids were little. And we always have a box. We did this at our church, and we did this when our kids were growing up. What we did with our kids was a little different. We would take and we would find a family. We'd pray. We'd find a family, and then our kids, we would take them. Because, see, I think Christmas is more about giving than getting. One of my daughters, I got grown kids, you know. And one of my daughters said, she calls me the other day. They're at my house right now. That's when my wife left early. And because we got a bunch of our kids there. Last year when we all got together, there was 45 of us. There's that much in our immediate family, okay? This year, I think there's only going to be around 30 or something. They didn't all come. But, what was I saying? My daughter called and said, Dad, you know what I got you? And I'm like, I don't want to know. You know? I said, I haven't even, she says, Dad, I can't wait to give you all these gifts that I got you. You know, I bought you several gifts. And she'd keep buying me gifts, and then she'd find something else, and she'd call my wife or text her and say, I found him another one. Dad's got to have this. And she was so excited to give me all these gifts. And I said, you know what, Jamie? I said, I haven't even thought about getting this Christmas because all I've been thinking about is giving. Because I've just been enjoying so much just giving to people, finding out what people want, and finding out how I could bless them and giving to them. Because the Word says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Well, it's happier, and it's a whole lot easier to give than it is to receive. When we were traveling around the country preaching, and people wanted to give us, it's real hard to receive money from people, okay? It's real hard. You know, we feel like we need to earn it. It's hard to receive a gift. But it's a whole lot easier to give. I feel real good about giving, you know, and then you squirm instead of me squirming, you know? But on the one hand, there's the giving, and that's what this box is about. It's about us, what we did with our kids, what we did with our church, and the way we were taught, in our church was we'd always have a box, or we'd take up an offering, and then what we would do is we would help a family that was in need. And that's what Jamie was telling me also. She said, "Dad, you know so-and-so?" I go, "Yeah." "Well, she got laid off, and she's got cancer, and they're doing a surgery." And she says, and she said, I was talking to her, or she was talking about it on Facebook or something. And she said, I'm going to talk to my kids. She ended up getting pain medicine for the cancer. And she ended up selling some of the pain medicine so she could go buy her kids Christmas presents, okay? And my daughter, tender-hearted little girl, says, "Oh, Dad, you know what I want to do? Is I wanted to go, and I decided to make her family, you know, I wanted to go there and buy her Christmas and her kids." And so she went and did that. Of course, she is doing that for other families, too, because she's like one of the most given people I know. She's crazy. She loves to give, you know. And she just keeps giving away, and God just keeps blessing her. And people wonder, "Well, how come some people have money?" Well, maybe it's because they give, because God blesses that, you know. So on the one hand, we take up an offering or have this box over here is to help a family or to help a couple of families. But what we did with our kids was we took our kids at Christmas, and instead of them focusing on what they wanted to get, like I was, my folks, my mom always gave me a Sears catalog or a JCPenney catalog and said, "Go through it and find what you want." Or my grandparents would do that. And it was all about what I'm getting. Well, when I met Jesus, I was like, I don't think it's all about what I'm getting. I think it's about what I'm giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is giving. So how can we raise our kids different? So what we used to do, Wayne, was we would take our kids and we would find somebody, a family, and what we would do is we'd take our kids and they would know this family, like they were a family coming to our church, let's say, or somebody we had met through our church, like because we had a bus route, we could bring all these kids in and we'd go find a family. We'd take our kids, we'd take them to a store, and we'd let our kids buy them Christmas presents, wrap those presents, and then we'd go over to their house, okay? All these kids, okay, because we have six kids, right? So we go over to their house, this whole mob of us, we take the presents, we put them up at the door. Now watch, this was so cool. I tell you, it's so much fun. And then you ring the doorbell, and then you run and go hide in the bushes, waiting and looking at the door. And we'd all go hide, because sometimes we'd have to have some of those smaller ones go hide first, you know. Little Janiyah, you know, go hide, you know. And then they'd be looking, and then the people come to the door, and there'd be all these presents, you know, or like Thanksgiving, all this, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, turkey dinner and all that stuff. You know what? And the people are looking around, and they go, Mom, look at all this. It must be Santa Claus. He's real, you know, or whatever. It was so much fun. And they never knew who it was. We didn't tell them, okay? We just went and did that, and it was so much fun, and our kids still talk about that as adults, that they remember us raising them that way. And because you can always find somebody who's more needy than you are. You can always give. You can always give. That's one of the reasons that we hug. Because you can, if you don't have anything financially, you can at least give away a hug. You can at least give away a smile. You see what I'm saying? So first was that. But I want you to know the gift that God gave us was Himself. The gift that God gave us was Himself in a body known as Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He loves you. And I'm glad that He came, because my life would not be anything like what it is right now without Him. My life would be a mess if it was still here. My life would not be anything like what it is. I wouldn't have you as a family. Merry Christmas. I wouldn't have you as a family. I wouldn't have forgiveness. I wouldn't have truth. I wouldn't have peace. I wouldn't have eternal life. I wouldn't have God And I can't imagine going a day without God. I can't imagine going an hour without God. I need Him all through my life. And He's the best gift that I've ever received. And His name is Jesus. I just wanted to tell you the story of how He was born. I wanted to show it to you chronologically. And there's more to it if you want to go and read the chapters before and after these chapters. You'll see there's a lot more too. But I just wanted to give you a chronological events of Jesus and how He came to the earth for you and me. And you know, He came for you personally. For you. Whatever your name is. If it's Jordan, if it's Cheryl, He came just for you. Because you know what? He knocks on your heart. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at your heart and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come into him and sup or eat or fellowship with him, and they with me." You see, there was no room for him in the inn. But I'm glad there's room for him in your heart. I'm glad that you wanted him. I'm glad that you came and shared that with us today. Jesus, I'm asking that you would work your wonders in each heart, your life into each heart, into each life here. I pray that you would help us to be thankful of what you did and what it meant just to have Christmas, or Christmas, as our sister Grace would say. But Lord, as we become thankful, I know we'll become thankful. And I want to thank you for being who you are and allowing us to know you, and for leaving your home and coming here for me and seeking me out, going through all the humiliating, humble, low things you went through just for us. And I say thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I'm asking that each home, each heart here would have a Merry Christmas, because you, Christ, would be in the center of their heart. Now, if you've never invited Christ inside, if you've never received Him inside of you, right now, wouldn't you open up your heart and let Him in? Jesus, I needed you to die for me. And Jesus, I thank you so much that you died in my place. And you were buried and you rose from the dead, and you offer me the gift, the first gift. It's called eternal life, eternal forgiveness. And I just want to receive that gift and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may you bless each one in this place. May you just bless their relationships, bless their time. And Lord, when we get together here on Tuesday, for the Christmas party, the Christmas dinner, whatever you call it, Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us, and that, Lord, you would minister life and family fellowship into each one that participates. And we just commit this into your hands, and I ask you would bless the families and the people that are traveling that are connected here, and we just say thank you, Jesus. Amen.